Hey, welcome to the Dai 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. So, again, it's the coolest thing I'll ever do on this podcast is introduce myself because, yeah, really gets weird and cool. And it's a Tuesday. Really, guys, honestly, thanks for jumping on board and listening to my podcast. We really do work hard to just try to make this podcast really nice. And because we're back, and today's conversation is one you should tune in for, because if you ever want to know a little bit more about some of the activities the U.S. Embassy has in Zambia, you should listen to this conversation. Today's guest is interesting. I got to talk to her a few times and got inspired to work on the few things I want to work on. So, yeah, I hope this conversation is that for you, because our conversation of late was like, oh, you can actually do this. So she's inspiring. She's the it girl or woman. I want to know how she's the it woman and how she's been navigating life in so many industries in her lifetime, because I'm still feeling in navigating that. So yeah, guys, I hope you love the conversation. Hi, Jemmy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for such a beautiful introduction.
Honestly, we talked once and I was like, yes, I'm inspired.
I'm glad we had a really good conversation. And, you know, I think the way that we both left the space gave us so much to look forward to. And really, any conversation I have, that's the goal, right? What's next? What are we going to look forward to? And you have really great ideas. So I want to say that you're inspiring as well.
And that's the interesting fact. I always, and because this is like the last, we're getting into the other half of the year, right? Surprising, like, well, recording this on the 31st of May. And the last, this week for me has been, oh, what do I look forward to doing the last 6 months? Because I feel like I've been doing a lot and I just want to tone it down. And I had a conversation with you last week and I'm like, oh, yes, I can finally add this project and Jamie will guide me on how to go with it. So it's really, yeah, it's really inspiring to have such conversations with people, especially strangers, by the way. I don't think we're strangers, but yeah.
I know. It started off the conversation as strangers and then we end up in this space where we're both mutually vibing off one another. And it's a beautiful thing. I think what you just talked about with us being at that 6 month mark in the year is really important, because it is helpful to be able to break down the calendar year like that, right? What have I done with these past 5 months going into the 6 month? And then what do I want to do with the remainder of the year with that time? And for some folks, there has been this rush and this energy that's been given. And maybe it's time to slow down a little bit or change the way in which we're executing our tasks that still meet the same goal, but use our energy differently. And for some people, we take a bit of a slower approach at the start of the year, and now it's time to ramp it up. So I think everyone's in a journey as they think about the year will look different, feel different. But as long as we're reflecting on what we need personally, how we've shown up those first 6 months and how we need to show up the next 6 months for ourselves and for our professional lives, that'll be the most important aspect of the next 6 months.
And that's so interesting, because I have been thinking to say I have been giving so much energy and still feel like I haven't achieved what I wanted to achieve the last 6 months, that I am channeling everything. Like, my strategy going forward is so different. And that's what our conversation did, was just adding to some of the few things I would like to really work on as foundation than just always do the big elaborate things. I always feel like, oh, in my life personally, I always feel like, oh, that's a lot. I feel like I've been doing a lot of late that I haven't done the groundwork for my business, for my personal development. I haven't done so much that I just want to step back and go back to some of the fundamentals. So yeah, that's really interesting when you think about it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you know what you need to do, right? So then it's about figuring out what intrinsic or extrinsic motivation will get us there. For me, I'm very internally motivated. So as long as I set the list and I make the goals and then I have the smaller steps towards the goal, I know that I will have the motivation inside me to move forward towards completion. And I love a good goal. I mean, it's so weird. I love just setting a goal and, even if I don't meet it completely, I love to relish in the moments leading up to it, to think about the fact that I set this goal and here are the people that I met along the way to achieving it, or here are the micro goals that I was able to accomplish on the way to achieving it or not, right? And what it means for my life to even be able to think, what did that goal mean for this time in my life? So I can see it being very relevant for you as well to think, not necessarily that you didn't reach certain goals that you set for yourself, but to start breaking down those micro moments of what you have been able to do. Because even the fact that we're here right now means that you are doing things that other people aren't doing, and you sharing your voice, your perspective, and bringing guests on is incredible. And thanks for having me.
And it's not easy, by the way. I had to. I always say, "Oh my goodness, I can't." So on a personal note, I can't cancel. Only if I can, and if it's really bad, then I have like I'll probably cancel that podcast recording. But one of my first episodes was something to look forward to, and you actually mentioned it earlier to say, "Oh no, it's like gives you something to look forward to." One of my mentors is he's a strategic mentor consultant, and he taught me how to plan and set goals, and it was the most annoying thing I did in 2022, earlier, like the first quarter. And now it's something I look forward to just sit down and actually just enjoy the process of breaking down your goals. So I do it weekly. It's not fun, but I break my goals weekly, so I know what I'm doing in June, July, August, September, October, November, December. I know what projects I want to work on in those periods, or what clients I want to work with. It's such an interesting thing, and I'm kind of glad we have you here because I just want to know, what would you advise somebody? Because I know people that have said, mostly my friends, said, I don't set goals because I never achieve them. What advice would you give such a person?
The advice I would give is to reevaluate the goals that you're setting. We set our own goals. So if you are understanding who you are, what you want to do, then you are setting goals appropriate for that. Sometimes we will set goals that are so lofty because that's what the world, some external factor is telling us we need to do. And we set it so large that the timeline, the actual days and years that it takes to get there, feel overwhelming, or the amount of social capital or financial capital or human capital that you need to get there feels overwhelming. Instead, we need to take a moment and take a step back and say, I set my goals, so let me reevaluate them. So instead of thinking, I need, let's go with just kind of not a simple one, but for a lot of young folks, college is that time, right? My goal is to graduate college. Well, you have a lot of other goals within that. Maybe it's there's a goal around your overall, what we would call a grade point average, right? Your kind of stance in the school year, how you rank up based on your markings from class to class. Maybe you have a certain degree program that you really want to pursue, and then you want to complement it with another major or a minor. Maybe it is you want to also be able to work to get some job experience, some work experience while you're in school that will help to boost your resume or your curriculum vitae. Maybe it is some aspect of the college experience outside of the classroom, whether you want to pursue some research or you want to have a teaching assistant role, really being able to break down the whole experience of the university life, because graduation is 4 or 5 years in the future, right? So if we set such a lofty goal, we can feel like our progress is slow. But for some people, psychologically, we need to feel like progress is fast. So maybe it's in my first year, I want to join a student organization. That feels reasonable. That feels like something that can also feed, our need to accomplish goals. Maybe it's for the first semester, I want to be able to pass, five of my six classes or whatever it is, right? Because again, let's be reasonable with ourselves, okay? For some people, math is hard. And so it's just
It
understanding, exactly.
is.
So it's just understanding that we set our goals and we can reevaluate our goals. It's not based on what other people are setting for ourselves. It's about what will make us feel like we are making good, steady progress forward to whatever that big, lofty goal is.
That's a nice breakdown. I wish I had you for something. Now I have something to bring you back on. Yeah. You just
Yeah.
gave me ideas. I was like, oh yeah. I'm going to have a whole session with you. Might not be here, but somewhere to do with goal setting and just strategic visioning. You're very interesting, to be honest. It's like, how have you navigated so many industries in one lifetime? It's I'm trying to understand, because it's like you're in education, the private sector, and now you're in public diplomacy. And it's not just that, it's also all those industries require different mindsets, different ways of approaching stuff, because they have their own systems on how work should be done. And yeah, it's like, it's so different when you're working in the private sector. Mostly it's profit, profit, profit. When you're working in education, it's mostly how do we make this better for the people before us or after us, or how do we make the experience more pleasurable to our students, and make how do we become more impactful? And when you're working with government, that's federal diplomacy or public diplomacy, it's more on how do we save the large public. So how did you navigate, and what inspired you to just switch?
Yeah, so this is actually a really interesting topic because it was not something at the beginning of my career that I set out to do. I didn't go out saying that I want to be able to traverse as many industries as possible because why? But what I knew very well was that I could situate myself in higher education. So I was a higher education administrator, and I still say I am. There are aspects that will never go away. You talked about the different mindsets. There are different processes that take place across all those industries. However, my mindset is still the same. So the way that I think about the people and the process and the product fundamentally will look the same. Higher education is a business, and we don't always think about it as such, right? But I have a client. Now, do I call them a client? No. Do I think about myself as in service in the same way as maybe in the corporate or the private sector? No. But do I think about there need being a need, right? Because if there's a product, then there's a client. So whether the product is some form of education, some form of packaged policy training type of information that you give people, it's still a product. Whether it is working in this space, the product is tied to your mission and vision. So it's there's this way that I can understand the different industries, what their mission is, and be able to say, here's how I fit into them based on my skill sets. So the number one way that I've been able to be, I would say, successful in navigating different industries is understanding my transferable skills. That means that no matter what space I take up, I'm not trying to mold into something I am not. Kind of going back to the conversation that we've had around college, right? And math being hard for some folks. I'm not going to go into a space and try and do something with that has a heavy focus on math. But what I'm going to do is know and articulate to whoever is needed that my skill set lies in being able to lay strong foundations for organizations to grow. That is fundamentally what I do. So that means that organizational leadership, people, human performance, those are the kind of the sub tiers of what I focus on. So any space needs that. All these spaces need people that are able to understand the general vision and be able to help propel people who are working towards that vision, move them forward. Okay. So with higher education, although I had many different functions in that space, my role was to be able to understand the university as a whole, the culture as a whole, what was happening in terms of federal regulations and how I could make sure that the university was compliant based on that, the work that I was doing, but the training of other folks to do that work, the process in which it happens, right? The timelines and the cycles for that space, and the people that I was working with. So working with 18 to 22-year-old traditional age students is different than working with 40 to 60-year-old non-traditional age college students. Is different than working with the youth age 18 to 35 Zambian population. Is different than working with professionals in the United States who are administrators learning how to maintain federal compliance as it relates to the work that I was doing in the past. These are all different populations and people. But if you know how to work with people, you take opportunities to listen, to learn, to understand, and be able to guide in the work that they do and create structure around the work. So we are not just talking about things, we are creating infrastructure, we are documenting processes, we are training one another to be able to understand not just the work, but how we show up in it. So that is how I've been able to take what I do is by understanding fundamentally what I'm good at and where I can fit in any space. So public diplomacy now has been, of course, there are natural transitions, right? New country, but also these basic understandings of humans, human behavior, human wants, human needs. That's something that I take with me everywhere I go. So it's been wonderful to interact with the communities here and to see the growth that continues to happen with the populations that we work with the NGOs that we work with these future leaders that we work with.
That's so interesting. Something just popped up. I had a light bulb moment. You do know former the first Secretary of State, female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, right?
Yes.
Yes. She always used to say, "What tools do you have in your toolboxes?" I don't know if you heard the saying. So the context is that when you walk into a room or anywhere, and because you've been transitioning and cross-cutting through different industries, it's like what skill sets do you have in your toolbox that differentiates you and puts you on a different level than everybody else? Or those toolbox that you can always carry and just work with different people? I don't know if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense.
Okay.
For me, I have an anti-deficit mindset. And what that means is there's an aspect of optimism, there's an aspect of overcoming, right? There's this way of being that says, despite all of the challenges, I'm a Black woman. I'm a Black American. I also have cultural ties outside the US. And so there's this multicultural way of being and way of existing within my home country of the US that I have learned to navigate. And has it been easy? Absolutely not. But for me, I can look at the ways in which I have navigated home environments, college environments, professional environments, fashion, beauty. I mean, all of these different things, they kind of make up, they give you your story. So for me, understanding my story and having an anti-deficit approach is how I think about it has been really key. So instead of rooting myself in the hardships of life, which are very real, right? Life is hard. I have always been able to say, okay, but how, who can I talk to learn more about this, to root myself in this? And where can I go to learn the things that are in line with this? I always tell people that I'm going to go to the meeting. I'm going to go to the training. I'm going to talk to the people because I want to learn the things that I don't know. I don't know. Right now, there's a lot that I know at this point, but there's so much more. There's so much more to learn. Absolutely. And if I ever stop being a learner of the world, you know, I don't know that I ever want to even think about what that looks like, because I love the ways in which I can learn about people and different spaces that I'm in through just having that mindset that is optimistic. And while I'm also realist, right? But I want to keep that part of me because I know that if I lean into my realistic side, that will take away the childlike nature, right? Where children imagine futures that are beautiful and grand and wonderful. I want to keep that, and that allows me to keep growing as a person.
That's so true. I'm trying to, so far this conversation is inspiring me to work with you. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm just like, I really can't wait to see the next few months unfold for me, and as I work on different stuff, because I'm just like, I really do need somebody with your energy, because I would like to learn more. Yeah, I'm just starting out and trying to build my business, my career, and just, yeah, surviving. So it's interesting that you're really just dropping the nuggets for me today.
Happy to.
So you work at the United States Embassy in Zambia.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Yes. How cool is that? Before I ask the question, is every time I get into the embassy, I'm like, I'm in America again. Yay. The atmosphere is, I'm in Zambia, but yeah, I'm in America. The atmosphere is so different. And I'm just like, yes, Lord. An hour in America is what I need for my soul today.
Yeah, I mean, we all have that one thing that we need. For me, it's like, it's stepping outside and going on a walk. For you, it's like, let me step inside the embassy. You say, how cool is that? I will say, and I always say, that I have the coolest job. I have one of the coolest jobs. Let me leave room for other possibilities. But I do definitely think I have one of the coolest jobs in the embassy, because I am not always just in the embassy, right? I get to meet people. I get to sit in different sessions that are hosted by people who are at the phase one of their organization, or at, I mean, or others who have international recognition, and just really learn different aspects of what it means to be here, and hear from voices that are here. So I never thought I'd be learning about aquaculture and what it means to be in fish farming, fish production, fish marketing. I never thought that I would be learning about 3D printing. And just never really thought that I'd be thinking from all aspects of what it means for cybersecurity and all those things that people here are equipped with and training other people to learn. So we have workshops and we have boot camps. There's so much. So for me, I think I have a fantastic job because I get to, of course, lead the mission and vision implementation of the work within what I do within public affairs. But I also just get to be a learner, as we talked about, I love learning. I get to be a learner in the space with other people who are just as inspiring and just as motivated to do better and do different.
That's interesting. So your current role is American Spaces Specialist at the Department of State. I think specifically in public affairs. So yeah, you talked about how you're learning about aqua culture, 3D printing. It's different initiative. I've also noticed that you visit a lot of schools locally and travel a lot. Like, could you tell me about that? Like, why do you visit schools? And how many spaces do you have in Zambia?
Absolutely. So yes, I am the American Spaces Specialist, and I oversee the project as a whole, the mission and vision implementation of our three American spaces that we have in Zambia. We have one at the American Corner at NIPA, the National Institute for Public Administration in Lusaka. We have another American Corner at Copperbelt University in Kitwe, in the Copper Belt. And then we have our American Center for Leadership. An American Center will always be hosted at an embassy or consulate. And these spaces are meant to share American culture with the world. They're also free resource hubs for information, technology, and just overall gathering of people who are seeking to learn and do differently. So we enact that in a lot of different ways through our programming. Largely, we have programming across a realm, a large array of different topics, not just focused in industry or just focused in leadership, but professional skill building. We host our U.S. exchange program alum to either talk about the experience of being in the U.S. or their U.S. exchange program or projects that they may be working on. We also work very collaboratively with Education USA, which is a program that provides resources and information to one, I always say, learn about the difference in educational institutional culture between the United States and Zambia, because there is a difference in a lot of different ways of being. So before you even get to the part where you want to apply to school in the US, this program is phenomenal because it works you, it shares information about how to research schools. There are over 4,000, and there are different types, there are different needs. So we start to break out of this linear way of thinking, right? What's the best one for mathematics? It depends, right? Because there are different environments. The US is a very large country. Over 350 million people. Zambia is about the size of one state, Texas. So how we have to think about it. So how we have to
Oh,
think
that
about
just clicked now. I was like,
it.
I love Texas, by the way. But that was just like, wait, you just said that. I was like, you? Okay, sorry, you can go on.
No, you're fine. I mean, that's what I like to talk to folks about, just to break up this idea that they're the best for this or best for this. It's like, do you want to be cold? Do you want to be hot? Do you want to be at a large school that has 60,000 people? Do you want to be at a small school that has 1,200 people? Right? And it just depends on what you're looking for. What type of research do you want to do? Do you want to do heavy research? Do you want to have more of a teaching focus? All these schools have different focuses. So that program does a really good job of breaking all that down. Translating what a grade point average means for us into what it means in Zambia, what an A or B grade marking means for us versus what it means for Zambia. all of those things we talk through, how what it means to write an essay for school, and how we have to really, really understand ourselves and differentiate ourselves in order to, put ourselves forward. I mean, there are lots of smart people in this world, right? But in the US, it's not just about how smart you are. I would say that is a smaller percentage than people think. It's not about how traditionally or book smart you are, but it's about all of these other aspects that demonstrate that you would be a value add for that institution to take you on. So that's just a long way to think about all the different things that we do. And I get to oversee a lot of these different functions of what's happening in our spaces. And for context, we have over 600 American spaces worldwide.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It sounds a lot. So, do you get to work with the other specialists from the other spaces?
Yes. So if I, do you mean the ones outside of Zambia?
Yeah, the ones outside of Zambia.
Yeah. So we definitely have connections. We work through WhatsApp. We have our some monthly calls where we're seeing what other spaces are doing, what's interesting. And I will say that Zambia's program is doing some really great things, right? From the way that we organize our American Center for Leadership, because it's different and distinct from the corners. To the way that we have had our strategic communication plan roll out. We have a monthly calendar, and we are mindful of our branding perspective and just incorporating different fun aspects that allow the community more to know what we're doing, what's coming up, what we're looking forward to. So people are really looking at that. And but I also get to look at what other communities are doing in other countries as well, which is phenomenal. The people that they're bringing into their spaces as US speakers, or the way that they're engaging technology on behalf of the needs of their country, because every country's needs are different. So we definitely connect across the countries in order to understand what's happening in those spaces and to share general best practices.
So, Jamie, what's your favorite initiative that you've worked on at the American Embassy?
My favorite or most significant thing that I've done in this role as American Spaces Specialist is it's difficult to narrow down because we have grants. We have our traditional most visible initiative, which is programming. We have our outreach to schools, to businesses, to different areas. We have our resources, right? We have gaming, we have books, we have magazines, we have different things that feed into kinesthetic learning. And I think what has been most significant for me has really been the realignment with our vision, right? Of sharing that American culture with the world. So we've done that through our communications, making sure that we have a monthly calendar that is created and sent out, not just internally, but also to our primary demographic, the Zambian community. We have a WhatsApp group that now we share the different events that are happening in there. And we also share photos to show and videos that show that we're actively engaged in what's happening. But we built up that community so much that we might actually need to find, we're at capacity, so we might need to find another platform. We have been able to connect with our facilitators, the people who are doing programming, to learn what their needs are in the spaces. We have been able to do work with partners who are doing work with the deaf community and to be able to support the opportunity for, I think there to be that cross-cultural learning for the hearing community to learn from the deaf and from the deaf to learn from the hearing community. There's been a lot of different ways in which we have brought in the US voice through American speakers virtually or from the embassy community that we have emphasized and showcased how not just the resources that we have, but how it ties back to the US. We have been promoting US holidays, right, and sharing this is what it's about. And I think that through some of the newer type of programs, we've been able to highlight the different aspects of culture as well. So for Black History Month, we had people, Black Americans in Zambia, make soul food dishes, right? And if you don't know what soul food is, definitely look it up.
I will.
yes, you should. And again, you know, food is culture. So we had folks be able to do that and then just come and be in community with other people. We had the music going, you know, and just making sure that people were talking to one another, like good vibes. We also have a presentation now just broadly around the US that talks about how big it is, what the weather is like from place to place. Where do some people, you know, choices to live, choices to educate your kid? What are some fundamental values of the US, right? So really being able to make sure that we're hitting all of our different pillars within the American Spaces program. And in meaningful ways each month, we had incredible mental health awareness programming in May, and we were continuing to do that type of work that shows that we are taking opportunities to educate our amazing folks on different aspects and ways of being in the US, which has been really fun. And I'm grateful to the community for being so open to it. There really has been a lot of cross-cultural learning that's happened. So I would say overall, big picture of being able to identify priorities and then be able to work with our team, our incredible team, to execute what that looks like has been significant for youth programming and youth engagement from the U.S. Embassy.
That's so deep. So 2 years ago, before I went to America, I was at one of the spaces, and I do not remember who I met, but for me, I always say, you know what, I just want to go to America. And I'm like that as a person. I just say, oh, I just want this. And everybody says, you sound crazy. I'm like, I know. I sound like that most of the time. So I go to this event. I've forgotten the name, but I think she was also an alumni, and they had this event at NEPA. So we're asked to ask questions at the end. There was a representative from the US Embassy. And I was like, so how do I go to America? And he looked at me and like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I want to experience America. I'm a student. What do I need to do to go to America? And then he told me the whole process and how I did it. Yeah. It's a story now. I went to America and came back, right? And that's how much the spaces are such a resource center. And this is how this conversation is such a resource center, because now I'm in the age of going into my next step, which I'm not really sure about. And now you're talking about Education USA, so that I can learn more about the education system, how it varies from Zambia and America. And yeah, do I want to be hot or cold? Or do I want, by the way, I have to say, Americans are very interesting human beings. And
well, we're all very diverse and we all have very different backgrounds. So yeah, I'd be interested at some point to also learn more about your experience in the US, but sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. But so I'm just thinking about how the space is such a resource center, how this conversation is such a resource center. And if you don't mind, could you tell me more about Education USA and where I can find more information or events, so that if there's anybody out there who's like me, stuck in the middle, what should they do next, or where can they learn more about the education system in America?
Yeah, so Education USA, you can Google it. And just like everything, you can Google Education USA Zambia, but also you can email Lusaka at educationusa.org, O-R-G, and that there's some initial information that can be provided to you. There's a lot that goes into the different cultural process as we talked about. So it's important for folks to be clear and explicit about what you're looking for. What I would always want to reiterate is that the U.S. Embassy and the Education USA program do not provide scholarships for schools.
Yeah.
There are programs that can provide support towards learning how to research to find scholarships. Scholarships come from private entities. Scholarships come from the university. They can be based on merit. They can be based on need. They can be based on athletics. They can be based on music. They can be based on anything, right? And so it's really about all of the steps before applying that are critical to positioning yourself to in the best place to get as much scholarship as you can.
That's interesting. I'm really learning a lot, Jamie, today. I really am. And I know I'm about to do something random to you, but it's not random on the podcast, but it's random because I didn't tell you. So we are starting a tradition where we give you an opportunity to ask me a question. Yeah.
Okay, so I can do that now?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I hope I don't regret this.
So my question to you is, if you could be doing anything in the world without concern for financial security, what would you be doing? What would fill your spirit, fill your bucket?
I've actually been thinking about that lately. I'd probably be doing what I'm doing. So what I do currently is I'm creating a platform where young people can gain experience, exposure, and skill sets. And it started very weird because I was just a peer for somebody. So I did a lot of peer work the last 2 years. And I didn't have like a solid thing going on too. I went to America and I saw my American friends have their extra job or work somewhere as they're in university. And I'm like, oh, we don't actually have that. I might be doing it back home, right? But we don't actually have that in Zambia. We don't have young people work after high school. We don't have that culture, or we don't even just have those opportunities. And I'm like, but this could be actually be created. We could create a space where these young people can actually get that experience, exposure, excuses. And honestly, that looks differently in different parts because sometimes the type of exposure I need is different and the type of experience I need is different depending how old you are and where you're at as a person. And so just navigating that, it's not been the easiest. And because I haven't been doing that so much the last 6 months or 5 months, I feel disconnected from what I really like. And the podcast is one vehicle of me achieving that. And this is why I love it so much. Because people who are listening to the podcast as we grow our audience, it means a lot of people get to listen to different conversations, and that will inspire them to actually invest in themselves. So yeah, we want you to gain experience, exposure, and skill sets, but we also want you to take the responsibility, because it should be you to take the responsibility to intentionally invest in yourself. So because I've been working and volunteering for a long time, I kind of feel like I figured it out early, and I'm like, oh, will I regret it? And I'm in a season of making decisions, big decisions that I have to stick on. And sometimes I tell myself it's okay to change my mind. So yeah, I really do enjoy what I do. It's not easy, but I enjoy it. And yeah, it actually doesn't bring in any money for now. So it's interesting to just, how do I work around that and yeah, make money out of it, or just sustain myself and figure everything out eventually. So yeah.
Nice. Absolutely. I think that's something we should all think about. You know, it'll answer a lot of life questions for us in the long run.
And I just thought, like, Jamie, what's your favorite childhood memory?
I would say one of my favorite childhood memories is jumping double dutch before school. So, what would happen is you would get to school, and it would almost always be before school starts, because, parents have to go to work. So, you would be in the playground, or just like on the property, and we would jump double dutch. And I'm talking four, five, six ropes going at a time, talking about 40 plus people around, and it's like competition, so it's like who can last the longest and do the best tricks and things like that. I would say that's one of my favorite childhood memories.
That's interesting. I think I watched the movie and it looks really fun.
It is, it takes just some rope and three people and
Yeah.
and it's a good time.
So, what do you look forward to?
In life?
Yeah, in life. As Jamie, what do you look forward to?
Oh, I always look forward to happiness, generally. My life is always in the pursuit of the maintenance of my happiness, right? So, mental health and self-care are talked about differently here in this context, right? And I would always urge everyone to be relentless about your own happiness. From the decisions that I have made that might deviate from others' plans for me back in the day, right? To now living in a space where I'm just able to be a learner of the world and there's happiness, right? Some folks may say, oh, you came to Zambia from the US. Zambia is incredible, except for this cold in the winter.
It's not that cold.
I've never been a fan of the cold and I'm from a cold state, but I've never been
I
a fan. Yeah, I've never been a fan of the cold. I don't know what it is, but we'll get through it. It's only about 2, 3 months, so I'll
Yeah.
manage. But I look forward to just continuing to be happy, to have my dance parties every morning, to just keep my body moving and making people laugh, making people smile, going into spaces that make me laugh and smile, and just knowing that life is meant to be lived. And whatever way that looks for us, we choose our happiness. And at any point in time, I feel like I don't have control over the things in my life. I need to do some reflection and I need to reevaluate. But for right now, I'm choosing happiness.
I like how you said happiness is different in different contexts, what self-care and mental health looks like. And it's like I just thought of just highlighting that, because sometimes when you think, I always say the grass is greener where they water it, right? I always like reading that statement because we're in a digital era, so we're always thinking the other person's life is better, they're more happier, but they're probably watering it, and sometimes it's not as good as it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're going with all the sayings today. I love it. The other one is comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And to compare my life to others would be less meaningful for me, right? What is it doing for me? Because everyone has something that we think the other one, that they might not have, that might have come easier for them, or something that people have that you want, right? But we don't often take opportunities to see what we have as well in front of us. We don't often take opportunities to pour into ourselves in ways that will elevate us, right? Water our grass. And that has been a focal point for me is to water my grass, and make sure that as I'm doing that, I'm also spreading that to the people who are in proximity to me as well, right? We all gonna be nice green grass around here. But it takes conscious effort on my part to pour into myself. And I hope people choose to do the same as well.
Yeah, and it also just realized it takes a lot to point to myself. My friend and I were talking yesterday, and I was just being grateful to say, oh, thanks for being my friend in this season and just holding the waters, right? And she says, you also deserve your flowers. My friends and I have a tendency of giving flowers, like physical, actual flowers, and just
I
texting and
love
saying,
that.
yeah, it's like we are gifters, so we love to gift each other, and sometimes we also just like to be grateful for the friendship or family and just say, you know what, thanks for being there for me and just being my person. So it's interesting how you could just be, if you're not intentional about the people around you, you could realize that by the time you are where you want to be, you don't even have those people because you're not intentionally watering their grass the way they water your grass. So it's interesting. Life is so interesting, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, my approach is to do good work and have fun while doing it.
I know, right?
I do good work and I try and do that in the different spaces that I'm in and I try and have fun, right? There's no point in me feeling like I need to posture in a workplace in order to meet someone's expectations of how I should show up. What's going to show up is good work. Right. I'm going to be asking questions. I'm going to be learning. I'm going to want to collaborate. And I'm going to want to have fun while doing it. And whenever it's not fun anymore, it's time to go.
I feel like you're giving me directions on a few things you don't know, but I'll tell you later. One of my mantras is, this is gonna be fun. And everybody finds it annoying. I'm just going, oh, this, ha I'm like, this is gonna be fun. And the end of the day, end of the time, the project, it actually is fun. And you go like, oh, I had fun. I had challenges, but I had fun. And that's what matters most of the time.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, it goes back to those micro goals, right? We can think that maybe we didn't accomplish something, but did you have fun, right? And what does that fun mean for you? Did it give you the opportunity to relax your shoulders and really just relax your mind? Or did it allow you to meet someone new that you want to keep in your life for whatever reason? Those little micro goals mean just as much. And, that positive mindset will propel you into that next. Well, look, positive mindset and hard work. Let me be very clear, okay? it's like faith without work is what. So, we want to make sure that we are definitely
In the work.
putting in the work. And I know that, every generation says the next generation isn't putting in the work. I mean, we say that every generation.
That work
But
looks different for all
yes,
generations.
absolutely. Absolutely. The execution of work looks different. And so the way I show up and I work looks different than some of my counterparts. And we have to have respect for all of it, right? Because, at the end of the day, what is, we talked about people, product, process. We all are going to approach that differently towards the final outcome. And we just have to be aware of that and have respect for how each other navigates those spaces in order to get to that endpoint.
So you kind of say something that resonated with me. You have to define what your fan looks like. I always like saying, and I always remind this to myself, I have to define what success looks like, productivity, fun, rest, and all the good stuff. So yeah, it's such an interesting thing for you to just highlight some of the things I live by.
For some people, fun is a puzzle, right? Or it's coloring. Adult coloring is a whole thing.
It's actually
Or,
fun. It's
yeah,
actually
it's fun for you.
fun.
And
Yes.
I love that for you. It's good. And I know people who really enjoy it and get into it. But what I've learned about myself is that anything more contemplative or kind of involves a stillness is not how I would define fun for myself, right? I like things that raise my heart rate up a little bit, right? Get me moving. That's why I talked about the dance parties and just always moving. I love activities. You know, I love like arcade games and things like that. Anything, you know, if I'm going on a good hike, I just love that kind of stuff. So for me, fun looks like that. So how that shows up in the workplace is how I like to have fun. I don't necessarily like to stay at my desk all day, right? I like to be out and about, seeing things and learning things and talking to different people. I like to be able to walk around instead of just sending an email. I'll walk upstairs, right? Let's have a quick conversation. Then we can follow up with an email. But let's have that person-to-person interaction. That way I can not just handle the business, but maybe I'll learn about how your weekend was or what you're looking forward to in the weeks ahead. So, you know, fun can look very different. Or if we're working on a project, how can we bring in some opportunities to learn a little bit about the team? How can we also laugh about maybe some of the things that frustrate us, right? Bringing light and levity to the workplace is incredibly important to making sure that the team feels like we are balanced in our work, and that we're, for the most part, on the same page too. So that's what fun looks like for me. Let's go on an excursion, right? That's still work related. That's where the outreach programs came. Let's go out and about. That takes us out of our spaces on a day-to-day basis, and let's go have some fun. And if we end up dancing with school-age children or doing trivia and kind of throwing t-shirts at folks and stuff like that to catch, like that is fun. And that's how I would define it.
Great. I don't like coloring, but I found it distressing. So it's not fun, but it's okay. But I feel like you and I actually do the same activities all the time. Because I can't sit still for a minute. Jamie, it's a pleasure. And thank you so much for jumping on board. And I know behind the scenes, there's a lot of rescheduling and scheduling just to have this episode. So I'm really just grateful that you said yes. And we finally did it. I look forward to meeting you in person and working with you and just learning from you, because I feel like there's so much I can learn, and hopefully there's so much I can give as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being a platform for people to share thoughts and ideas and perspectives. What you're doing is so meaningful, and I hope we can do this again someday.
Soon. I hope I get to do this with you soon. I have an idea, but yeah, I have to run it through you soon. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this conversation. Please let us know if you got inspired like I did. It was such an enriching conversation. And if you want to learn more about Jamie and what she does, we'll have all her links in the bio so that you can learn about American Spaces and more about Jamie. So guys, thank you so much. I hope you share this with a friend and subscribe or follow. Thank you.